Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the happier happy hour, the Valentine's edition. Dom still got the Monday mouth, but so do I.
Oh, happy VD, Crudy. Good to see you, man.
Oh, man. God. It hurts when you say it like that.
Well, it's true, man. It's VD. Just embrace it. It's VD. I mean, who doesn't love VD?
You stop being so crass on the radio. We have friends listening.
It's Valentine's Day. It's VD, man.
Your wife must be so very, very embarrassed by you. So
no, we laugh about it quite a bit, actually.
Your embarrassing statements in public.
Yeah. It's not embarrassing because it's funny, and funny is funny, so it's all good. Don't worry your pretty little self about it, Crudy.
Okay, I'll try not to. do you see who made a big announcement today, Dom?
I did.
Well, what'd you see, just to make sure you're on the right track?
I saw that, former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley has gotten into the ring, the second Republican to announce for a presidential run.
Well, not only is she, a former Trump UN Ambassador, but she's the former governor of South Carolina. Did you watch the announcement video? I watched it, Dom. She talked a lot about the fact it's a great day in South Carolina. Must have led so many of her speeches there with "it's a great day in South Carolina." Well, it might be a great day in South Carolina, but you will not be the Republican nominee. I can tell you right now.
Why?
She won zero support with that launch video. She does not have a lane in the Republican Party. There is no path for victory. She is the Carly Fiorina of 2024. She might surge up to 5% and then she'll crash back on the rocks. The Republican Party wants no part of her, Dom. And the video. Let me share some of the criticism from the right about her launch video.
Ooh, okay.
The headline here, former GOP strategist mocks Nikki Haley for messing up her own message. She's trying to have it both ways.
Yeah.
Of course she is. Donald Trump's former ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, announced formally that she's running for president on Tuesday. Thought she was doing that tomorrow, but the video seemed a little muddled, said one former Republican strategist. Speaking to MSNBC about the announcement, Tim Miller, who writes for The Bulwark, Charlie Sykes' Bulwark, Dom, said that because of all her flip-flopping, she is looked at skeptically by the MAGA voter. And he explained that about 80 to 85% of the Republican Party is now made up of the MAGA voter. And those votes are going to Donald Trump. So that leaves a very small pool from which to swim, said Miller. The party might look for someone else besides Trump, someone like Ron DeSantis, but it will be in that vein, not in the Haley vein. Miller, not a big believer in the candidacy of Nikki Haley, Dom. But the key piece of criticism came from when he said that even she doesn't know what her campaign message is at this point. I guess she's a little confused, Dom. I did note that she attacked the 1619. That's the New York Times campaign, trying to bring a little history of the treatment of black people historically through the United States. Trying to bring it forward. She didn't like that so much. So Miller's talking about her rollout video. If you look at this intro video today, just as a prime example, the first sentence is about how she grew up in the city in South Carolina that's divided by a railroad track that divides the city by black and white, divides the city by race. And then 5 seconds later into the video, she attacks the 1619 Project and the George Floyd protest, the people that said that racism is a structural problem. Well, how can the video be both about how you grew up in a racist town and also make fun of the people who say racism is a structural problem? She's trying to have it both ways. She's trying to be a MAGA nationalist and a uniter. I think that's where she's at right now. That means she ain't going to be very successful, Dom.
Probably not.
No path forward for Nikki Haley.
My understanding is she did not even mention her former boss.
Or her family. Other than the fact she's not quite white and not quite black.
And I think it's a good assessment, a good observation of the contradictory ways that many of the Republicans try to, you know, politically exist. Oh, I'm Nikki Haley. I grew up on the other side of the tracks and separated black and white. But, you know, damn those woke teachers trying to, you know, teach critical race theory to third graders. You know, I mean, come on, man. So I don't know. I think that's a great point. Who exactly is she targeting with this messaging initially, right? Who is the target? Everybody, hey, I'm Nikki Haley. Here I am. I didn't see or hear reported any specific strategies or thoughts like that, any policies that she would run out or put forward that she, you know, thinks that would be benefit her in a presidential run. It's just a, hey, it's me. It's Nikki. Vote for me. I mean, that's fine. But, I mean, the Republican Party is MAGA now, Nikki. Are you sure you know what you're doing?
You missed the entire point of the video, Dom. It's a great day in South Carolina.
A great day to do what? Day for what? You know what I mean? What does that mean? Is it sunny? Are you just in a good mood today?
Apparently. Also, another bit of befuddlement on the national scene, Dom. Apparently, Senator Dianne Feinstein announced her retirement. And then, like, an hour later came out and made a statement that she wasn't announcing anything. The headline here says, Dianne Feinstein announces retirement in a confusing fashion. The 89-year-old California Democrat is stepping aside from her seat of 30 years. So, Dom.
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty much it. She's not running for re-election. We already knew people like Katie Porter, Adam Schiff, had jumped in, had already announced they were running for the seat. There had been rumors coming out of California, out of the Congress, that, you know, she's slipping. She's not cognitively what she was. And I don't know if this is more of that sort of sad reporting being reinforced by the fact she's unaware that earlier today her campaign, or, you know, lack thereof, announced she's not running again. And then she said, well, I'm not making any announcements. You already made the announcement.
Your office made the announcement. You don't need to make the announcement, but you probably should be aware of the announcement.
You would hope she would have the cognitive abilities to be aware of her own campaign making that announcement. Let me bring you a little of the reporting from the Hill. Feinstein announces retirement at the end of the term. I am announcing today I will not run for re-election in 2024, but intend to accomplish as much for California as I can through the end of next year when my term ends, she said in a statement. I campaigned in 2018 on several priorities for California and the nation, preventing and combating wildfires, mitigating the effects of record-setting drought, responding to the homelessness crisis, and ensuring all Americans have access to affordable, high-quality health care. Congress has enacted legislation on all of these topics over the past several years, but more needs to be done, and I will continue these efforts. She has been the subject of critical reports in recent years over her mental acuity, Dom, but defended herself against those claims, citing the death of her husband, Richard Bloom, last year as a chief distraction. However, signs of her declining mental acuity were clear on Tuesday after a reporter asked her what message she has for her Senate colleagues. Feinstein asked why she would have a message for them about you're not seeking re-election. Well, I haven't made that decision. I haven't released anything, Feinstein said. A Feinstein staffer then interjected, telling her that they put out a press release with her retirement statement. Oi. you put out the statement she asked, adding a few seconds later, I should have known they put it out. It is what it is. The time has come, Feinstein continued. Wow. Wow, not the way to announce you're going out in style, Don.
Yeah, I mean, no, not the way to announce you're going out. I mean, she will be 90 years old in June. Not to say that that means something necessarily. But so she's still got a little time left in the Senate.
Dom, Charles Schumer, majority leader in the Senate, called her a legend and an amazing person. She's a legend in California as the first woman senator, a legend in this Senate. She was the leader on so many different issues, he said. Schumer also said Feinstein at the Democratic caucus lunch got a standing ovation that lasted minutes and minutes and minutes, one of the longest I've ever seen, which shows the love our caucus and our country have for this wonderful leader and legend. It's a lot of legend talk, Dom.
Well, yeah, man, that's a long time.
Do you think our pal Joe Biden's going to get the legend talk, or is he going to get the benefit of the doubt from the party? Because it's about time for him to put pencil to paper.
Yeah, right. He's going to have to make a decision one way or the other.
Publicly, he's either going to have to declare re-election, and typically, I know I claimed he might make the announcement day after the State of the Union address, but typically first week of April, more likely for a presidential announcement of that sort, at least prior Democrats have used that time frame.
Well, I mean, Feinstein's got, what, 10 years, pardon me, on Joe Biden? So, you know, again, as long as he's there and willing and able.
I don't think it's quite 10. I'm not going to challenge you to do math on the radio, but I think it's going to be closer to...
No, he was born in 1942, and Dianne Feinstein, I pulled it up, was born in 1933. Her birthday's in June, his is in November. Maybe it's 9, but it's 10.
Sure it's not 8.5? Come back with us.
How old are you, man?
I was giving you the benefit of the doubt it is an 8.5, Tom. How old am I? I'm like 52 and... 3/4 now, aren't I? How old are you?
I'll be 52 in June, man.
Come back with us. We are the devil's advocates. We'll compare ages, social security numbers,
mother's maiden name.
I'm an old man. I'm confused.
It is what it is.
The devil's advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join the conversation 844-967-2789. I promise we will get to the phone shortly.
Dominic, we've got a quick story to get to, but first, a phone call during the commercial break. It was out of state. It was coming from Michigan, I believe. I'd spent some recent time in Michigan, thought maybe someone had stolen my credit card or something. So I thought I'd answer, you know, just in case. And it was someone calling on behalf of the Wisconsin Democratic Party asking me if I was aware that there is a primary coming up on February 21st.
What? Really? And this February?
Like a week from today, Dom. That's what young Sarah told me on the phone. And Sarah clearly didn't know that we're kind of a big deal and we do the politics on the radio thing, because apparently she's from out of state, hired hand or something on behalf of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. But she seemed quite pleasant, but I didn't give her the "you don't know who I am," dude. I skipped all that and I just said, yes. You know, I'm on a commercial, and I tell you what, you can probably put me down for a yes vote in the primary. Dan Kelly or bust, baby.
No, I didn't say that.
844-967-2789. Dom, there were a couple of troubling stories. And as we came back from break, the Eric Clapton. Well, that was for you, Don Jr. A little story found it here at the Roar story. I like the Raw story. The headline reads, and this is a direct quote of Donald Trump Jr., Don Jr. is on coke. Trump's son says people mistake impassioned speech for a drug habit.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's what he says. Donald Trump Jr., son of the former president, I like to think of him as sort of the Fredo of the family, complained this week that people often accuse him of having a cocaine habit instead of focusing on President Joe Biden's son, Hunter.
I mean,
cocaine habit?
Right. I mean, why stop at one?
During a rant on his Triggered podcast on Monday,
Don Jr. is now a podcaster. All right, just like Bannon.
They really want a radio show. All the cool kids are doing radio. During a rant on his Triggered podcast on Monday, Trump said that people suggest he's on cocaine after seeing his political speeches. It's not just that. He said, and we'll play some of the sound. You can judge for yourself. I've been blessed beyond belief in this country, Trump told Cash Patel. Now, that guy's been under a lot of DOJ scrutiny, used to work for Devin Nunes, and then, he became a senior administration official at the last, and seems like he's trying to throw some sand in the gears of the investigation, but anyways, he's also a podcast co-host with Don Jr. Don Jr. said, Fredo, as I like to call him, I got thrown into politics in my late 30s, and all of a sudden, it's like, hey, I actually believe this stuff. I will more than happily fight for it.
You got thrown into politics? What are you talking about? Were you supposed to run daddy's business while he was away robbing the United States Treasury?
I think we've got some of the sound. Ebone, I don't know the number, but just look under the alleged cocaine user, Don Jr. Fredo. Just play that soundbite, please.
Hunter Biden can take $1 billion from China, work for Ukraine oligarchs, you know, work for Russian oligarchs, money launderer, be paid in diamonds off the books, not declare anything in taxes, drop guns in dumpsters across from high schools, and it's like, he's an upstanding human being. Then I give an impassioned speech, and they're like, oh, Don Jr.'s on coke.
The best is yet to come. They've also said it about your girlfriend, Don. Just so you know what the rumor is on the street. I think it's the sweatiness.
You know, he sounds a little jealous,
envy.
According to Junior, you know, Hunter's getting billions of dollars from China. Hell, his brother-in-law? How would you describe Jared Kushner? His brother-in-law, right? He gets $2 billion from the Saudis, and here he's sitting doing a crappy podcast with Cash Patel. I'd be a little salty, too.
844-967-2789. A very patient Jake from Eureka. How you doing, fella?
Hey, Jake.
Hey, guys. Well, Don Jr., no matter how much he threatens it, he's never going to run for anything because he doesn't want to be a big loser just like his biggest loser father. And here the deal is, it's not just that we're saying Donald Trump Jr. is a cokehead. No, he clearly is a cokehead. Anybody who watched his speech and his girlfriend, you know, the best is yet to come, Kimberly Guilfoyle, at the 2020 Republican convention, saw just how incredibly coked up both of them were. And you could see it in their eyes, you could see it in their expressions and their behavior. This was classic cocaine-related manic behavior. And he's been like that for years now, okay? You're not hiding it from anybody, Don Jr. You're a cokehead.
Jake, you sound like you've stayed up all night staring at the hotel room ceiling once or twice.
Oh yeah, no comment.
Yeah, no comment. But Jake, I got less issue with him and whatever drugs he decides to use, illicit or illicit, whatever, than what he actually promotes and aspires to, right? I mean, if he's going to follow in his dad's footsteps, those are the things that concern me. I mean, he's an adult, he's got money. Lots of people do drugs. So what? But to sit up there and then what? Try to deny it because Hunter,
right. It's the one.
What's the point, Jake?
It's a constant dishonesty from not only this Donald Trump, but any Donald Trump. They never stop lying. That's the problem, you know. If they would tell the truth once in a while, I mean, every once in a while they do, like, give up the fact they're committing crimes, you know. They'll just kind of blur it out once in a while.
Well, Jake, he effectively confessed. He's like, everybody thinks I'm on coke. You know what he's really doing? He's denying the thing he knows is very true. He's on coke. Everyone knows he's on coke. I better go out there and deny the fact I'm allegedly.
No, just passionately, politically speaking.
I can tell you, we're passionately political, and nobody's busting lines up in here. Unless you're doing something I don't know about. Come back, more Devils.
The best is yet to come.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Don't you?
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling Devil's Advocates. Morning, rising to the street.
Light me up that cigarette. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Valentine's edition that I believe makes it a Tuesday up in here. 1 week from a primary in the great state of Wisconsin. And we love it when you join us. Love is what we got for our audience. Join us, 844-967-2789. Dom, should we go back to the phones?
Let's do that. I have some more headlines I want to get to, but we love the audience. Jerry from Arizona, you are up. Welcome, Jerry. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jerry.
How are you guys?
Good, Jerry.
Thank you.
Happy Valentine's.
Oh, yeah. Happy BD Day.
Stop it. Stop it. Don't parrot him. It's terrible.
Well, it's funny. It's just an abbreviation. Come on.
I know, but
come on, Trudy.
It takes all the romance out of it, well, just because he doesn't like celebrating the Hallmark holidays, as he would say. But, you know, Jerry, right. The man doesn't celebrate Christmas.
It's Diabetes Day, you know, with all the sugar.
Right.
Fortunately, I just turned 78, and I've been divorced since, are you ready for this, 1973, probably
Wow.
before you guys were even born.
Oh, yep. We're a little older than that, Jerry.
Not much, but
okay, well,
happy birthday, Jerry.
Thank you. I wanted to tell you, I think desperately the United States needs somebody that's good with computers, and that would not be me, to start a dollar a month to have more liberal radio stations, whatever your national, we need to be. Tom Hartman had an article 1 or 2 weeks ago that said something like there's 6,000 conservative radio and TV stations to like 300 liberal. And that's what happened to me when I was in Colorado. Was all of a sudden it just went dead, and it became Bloomberg News, you know, with stock quotes, dollar a month. Dudes, I may be very, very low income, but I would spend a dollar a month for, we need more liberal radio stations. We need you to be all over the nation.
Jerry, so from your lips to some rich guy's ear, but let me ask you, Jerry. In all seriousness, how much money are you spending on weed a month?
Actually, since I have emphysema from being, I just do gummies. And believe it or not, I only need a half a gummy now.
Yeah,
but
nice.
Not much. We just got a pot store here in my little sit town in Arizona just a month ago. But I don't smoke much flower these days. It's gummies I rely on for sleep. Us seniors, I'm telling you, it's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle drug, along with a sleeping pill.
Well, Jerry, you know that the Devil's Advocates have always been fueled by Puff Puff Passing. And if we ever have the opportunity to lay down permanent roots in Arizona, it'll be because of your listenership and kind cajoling. I'm coming out to Arizona in April, coming out to a Tyler Childress concert. Does that count?
Didn't we play out in Arizona at one point?
Phoenix.
In the old Heartless Radio days?
Yes. We were syndicated, dude. We syndicated on January 1st of 2017. And I made the smartest decision of my lifetime to buy my first radio station on February 1st of 2017, And of course, that was all in overreaction to the election of Donald Trump in November of 2016. But unfortunately, Dom, as your sometimes faulty memory might recall, the commitment to the home state politics, the state of Wisconsin here, sort of overrode our perhaps worldwide famous syndicated talk show host, and they moved the dish, the satellite.
That's right.
And the guy in Phoenix had a
affiliate
brick
wall
in the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And he literally could not turn his C-band dish to face the new satellite direction. And when the wall got in the way, we got the kaput. And I think that's about the time we pulled our national syndication contract down. We said, if we're not going to play out for Jerry in Arizona, we're not doing it anymore. But if we ever get the chance to again, Jerry, you're going to have to share some edibles.
We'll bring some along. Don't you worry about it. Thanks, Jerry. 844-967-2789. Crudy, as we talked about last week, the former vice president subpoenaed by Jack Smith in the Department of Justice.
Oh, he's not going to honor that subpoena, man. Cause...
Well, I mean, given the fact he wrote this book and he's such a godly man, I mean, wouldn't he want to do the moral and right thing all the time?
But he was also a talk radio host. So
oh, that's...
He lives in the gray, if you know what I'm saying.
Matthew Chapman reporting as posted at the Raw story, after having claimed that he was immune as an executive from having to answer questions from the January 6th committee, former Vice President Mike Pence is now trying the opposite strategy to avoid a subpoena from Special Counsel Jack Smith and claiming, as President of the Senate, his actions at the time of the attack are shielded by the speech and debate clause of the Constitution. But this strategy is ultimately doomed to fail, argued former White House ethics czar and impeachment counsel Norm Eisen in conversations with CNN's Bianca Gjelorgia on Tuesday. So what do you make of this rather novel strategy from the former vice president and his lawyers, asked Bianca? Bianca, the executive privilege argument to resist testifying has failed. So now they're pulling another arrow from the quiver of constitutional defenses, but it's not going to work because there is no absolute speech or debate immunity for a vice president or anyone else from showing up and answering the kinds of questions we have here. Now he goes on. First, if you look at the speech and debate clause, it says senators and representatives, not presidents of the Senate or other constitutional officers. He was not a senator. He was not a representative. So he loses on that ground. And then the clause is also limited to speech or debate in either house. So if he was saying, well, I don't want to be questioned about what I was thinking when I was sitting in the chair presiding over the chamber, that's one thing. But it's dubious whether that blocks all questions about everything that happened in the run-up.
Dubious.
So if you were to advise Mike Pence, which you are not, you say the better solution would have been to follow the Lindsey Graham path, and that is just show up and answer each question by question and take it from there. Well, if I were advising Mike Pence, I would have to give him not only legal advice, but political advice. Pence is in a political pickle, not a legal one, because he doesn't want to look like he's cooperating with this investigation. At the same he did the same thing with the January 6th investigation. He has to put up a sharp resistance. So I think that might be the right thing for him with the Republican primary electorate. It's not the right thing for America, however. And so I do think from a legal perspective, he should say, I'll show up, I'll answer questions, and if some of them are constitutionally prohibited, I'll object. There is no blanket immunity of this kind for a vice president under the speech and debate clause. This will just prolong this investigation.
Well, that's his goal, because
right.
Pence wants to run for president. Of course, he's got to look like he's fighting man, Dom. Can't roll over and just do what the man tells you to do. He's got to stand with the January 6th Patriots that won.
Well,
the Hagans,
so during the January 6th, he was the executive, and now he's the president of the Senate. But either way, I mean, no matter, I'm assuming this gets defeated. Most of these arguments have been defeated, and even so, he can maybe, you know, not say something very specifically, but other things. I mean, you're not shielded from law breaking. You know what I mean? I don't think any of those things. If you're part of the coup, that doesn't protect you. And there's no debate about the coup. That's not what you were debating. What are you talking about? So, but this is a delay tactic, right? And what, when is Pence going to come out and officially decide to run, right? And how does the DOJ...
There's no lane for him either. I hope
it doesn't matter.
I mean,
come on, man.
What
does it matter?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Not as it pertains to the Department of Justice. He, like Trump, would you do this just to avoid any sort of scrutiny? If they think it would work for them, he will do it just like Trump is claiming to do it.
I don't think that Pence is under any real criminal scrutiny. He's not under scrutiny for classified documents. I mean, he had like one or two. He's just trying to be cool and presidential. But Mike Pence, I cannot believe, would be part of the coup targeting Mike Pence. I just don't believe he's the target of a criminal investigation.
No, I'm not suggesting Mike Pence wants to hang Mike Pence. What I am suggesting is he would use this effort to run for president to try to stall and delay any sort of testimony to the Department of Justice and Jack Smith.
I think the effort to stall the testimony, I modestly disagree with you in this regard. It's an effort to seem strong for the MAGA base. It's to try and burnish his luster as a potential presidential candidate. The fighting of the subpoena, the battle itself is what the Republican base wants. You know, they're completely disconnected from reality. You've noted that, right?
The Republican base, the hang Mike Pence base, the Trump mega base, that those are the people that he's trying to appeal to.
I didn't say it was logical.
In the delay tactic by now claiming he's not an executive, he's really a senator, president of the Senate.
Dominic, you know it really comes down to two candidates on the Republican side. And the rest of these people, Mike Pence is the poodle show in the three-ring circus. Mike Pence is an afterthought in this greater, you know, spectacle that will be the Republican primary. This is all about Donald Trump and Meatball Ron. Meatball Ron. Do you hear the new one for
this DeSantis? Is the new name.
DeSantimonious is the
DeSantis.
Old.
DeSantis. Is DeSantis? Is that Italian? What's DeSantis?
Apparently he is.
Okay, so it's a meatball. It's an ethnic slide. It's a rip on being Italian, right? It's like calling me meatball.
Hey, meatball. Hey, paisan.
Paisan means friend. Meatball is an insulting term if you're calling someone who's from Italy or Sicily that.
I think it's more about the roundness of DeSantis. You know, it's more of a characterization of his shape. He's not so much pear-like as meatball-like. He's like a meatball with the short, stout arms.
I thought it was DeSantimonious or something along like
that. That's what Trump has been calling him. And in fact, according to Fox News Digital, Trump denies coming up with the Meatball Ron. As Trump is quoted here, Trump says coming up with disparaging moniker for DeSantis is a very unimportant subject.
So it means it's very important to him.
Well, I suspect he's working on the Nikki Haley
<You're right.
laughs> disparaging moniker, right?
Yes, I absolutely would assume that would be the case. And if he's doing it right, it would probably include her gender and her race.
You know, and I know you don't want to go here, but I'm obviously dragging you down this one. I got a very early text message this morning. Really before I had even started acknowledging the day. I was awake, but not reading my text yet. But I got a 709 text. Question of the day for your show. Help Trump out. What will Nikki Haley's new nickname be now that she's officially running for president? Meatball Ron was so lackluster, it says here. From our pal Rocker. Listening on the east side.
I'm not a fan, man. I mean, if you know, it's got to be like
it's got to be organic T-bone.
Yes.
Like if it's E-bone,
it's not like, you know, we have never called people names. I mean, our CJ douchebag of the year, right? When we do this occasionally, and when it's deserved, and it's a natural thing that just comes organically, as you mentioned. You know, to sit down with your creative team to come up with an insulting term for a political opponent, it seems so juvenile. And it's not like, you know, when we do it, it's not. It's funny when we do it. When Trump does it, it's juvenile.
former President Trump appeared to shoot down a New York Times report Monday that he is workshop. Meatball Ron is a disparaging nickname for Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Trump, who famously dubbed political rivals with, let's call them, unflattering nicknames such as Little Marco and Lying Ted, has started to criticize publicly DeSantis, who is expected by many to run for president in 24. Yeah, he's the only other meaningful candidate, I suspect, Dom. New York Times reporter Michael Bender and Maggie Haberman reported Trump has used insults in addition to the Ron DeSanctimonious moniker he previously unveiled. Trump has insulted Mr. DeSantis in casual conversations, describing him as Meatball Ron, and an apparent dig at his appearance, or Shutdown Ron, a reference to restrictions the governor put in place at the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic. I happen to like meatballs, but this will turn off a lot of conservative voters. Not a wise move.
Hi, kids.
Hi, Tom.
Let's sing a little bit.
The big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
All covered with cheese.
All covered with cheese.
I lost my poor meatball.
I lost my poor meatball.
When somebody sneezed.
When somebody
and we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You can join us last segment of the day, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I'm less clear. Now, Meatball Ron? Ron the Meatball? Where do they call him? DeSantis? And Trump denies. Here's what Trump said on his Truthy Social. All the fake news is reporting that I spend large amount of my time coming up with a good nickname for Ron DeSanctimonious.
And that's not a good nickname, by the way. DeSanctimonious is terrible. I mean, not that any of them are great, but come on.
Apparently, Trump doesn't like to be accused of spending time coming up with a good nickname for Ron DeSanctimonious, who is obviously going to give the presidential thing a shot. Trump wrote, "They're all 100% wrong. I don't even think about it. A very unimportant subject to me." And you know it's unimportant because he uses 3 exclamation points.
Oh, wow. Then you know he's really telling the truth.
Then you do know it. And by the way, did I actually read aloud what Rocker's suggestion was for Nikki Haley from Trump's perspective? Did I say?
No.
Quickie Nikki. And I've got another one from Jeff. Nutjob Nikki. That sounds a little closer to a Trump jab. Nutjob Nikki. Look at her. Nutjob Nikki.
Not my type, huh? Yeah, not a fan of all that. 844-967-2789. Mike from Cedarburg, you're up. Welcome, Mike. What do you got for us?
Hey, Michael.
I don't want to help the orange idiot any, but I got to name the Hindu harlot.
Oh, damn. That goes right to the... That stabs you right in the heart.
Well, I know he's going to come up with something. It's got to be demeaning to a race. That's demeaning to everything. It's demeaning to women.
But
so, right.
It's both
race, gender, ethnicity, all that. It's got, as long as he can get it all into one mic, then I guess that's my point. Though I really don't want to help him out on it, man.
Yeah, but if he uses, I want some money out of the deal.
Hey, Mike, Tom, and Lou, but if you're listening, you think Trump's getting nickname advice from the Devil's Advocates radio show? 844-967-2789. The other guy, though, DeSantis, DeSanctimonious, or Ron Meatball, depending on your flavor. DeSantis, according to a couple of recent articles I've read, he is potentially the second coming of Jeb Bush. You remember Jeb. He's from Florida. Had all the
clap.
Name you recognition.
You can clap. Go ahead, clap, please.
But Jeb failed miserably in the Republican primary. He paled next to Trump, right? But he wasn't the only one. And I started monikering people early on in this little radio process of ours, Dom. And the first one, of course, was the wanker. Failed presidential wannabe Scott Walker from the great state of Wisconsin. I see Ronnie Meatball more like Scotty Wanker in that I think he thinks that just because he played on Main Street in what, Florida? He won re-election under a former Republican turned Democrat by 20 points. He's a big shot because he beat Charlie Crist, who was running this time as a Democrat, used to be the former Republican governor of Florida. So, you know, I don't really think it's representative, that last election. But, you know, I'd like to see a chief executive. I think that makes a better resume. But Scott Walker, he was so miserable as the governor of the state of Wisconsin. I mean, for the rest of us, the governance was so miserable. And he really only had right-wing talk radio propping his ass up. Well, Ron DeSanctimonious, I don't know if you've noticed that, but he really only goes to Fox News. He really only plays to righty whitey audiences.
Well, they pulled Newsmax off of DirecTV, so where else is he going to go?
Well, he's going to Fox. Or, you know, maybe the Steve Bannon podcast. I heard him on Clay and Buck reminiscing about his college baseball days. Wonder if he was, you know, a little less meatball like at that time. What did Trump call Chris Christie?
He goes straight
for beached whale. What did he call?
Did not commit it to memory.
But Christie
is Christie. You think Christie's running again?
I think Christie's gearing up for something. I think he continues to cash checks just as a media figure. But yeah, I think Chris Christie. I doubt this elective cycle. I don't think he would. I think he's got to see how the Republicans sort of destroy their own party. And I think it's more advantageous for him to continue cashing checks for Fox News or MSNBC or wherever else they'll pay him to speak. And then once the Republican Party has destroyed itself in pursuit of another Trump nomination, and that is my continued prediction, Trump will be your Republican nominee because he is going to eviscerate Ron's meatballs right there on a public stage, probably in Milwaukee at the first Republican debate. So there's a couple of prognostications for you right there, Don.
Yeah, you keep saying it. I don't believe it. Okay, so we got Nikki Haley getting into it today.
Yep.
Reporting from the Wall Street Journal over the weekend, Tim Scott, I guess it was yesterday, apparently a senator from South Carolina.
Oh, yeah, black Republican
presidential run.
Oh, that'll have a lot of mileage. I can feel quite confident the racist party is going to support their black candidate.
So you don't think the black candidate or the Nikki Haley, the not very white for MAGA voters, are because of their skin tone, are not acceptable candidates? I mean, hell, well, Donald's orange.
Tim Scott's not going to win because he's black. Nikki Haley's not going to win because she's foreign. And her name, Nikki Haley, is not her name, is it? What's her what's her given name? As they would say, her Christian name, Dom.
Her real name, according to my internet search, is Nimrata Nikki Randhawa Haley.
Yeah, Rimhana Nikki Rohala Haley is not going to be your future president. I mean, maybe if she was a liberal, Barack Obama won, right? Barack Hussein Obama?
Hussein, yes, Hussein won.
But not with a lot of Republican votes.
Well, I mean, he did win with Republican votes. I mean, he won in Republican votes here in the state of Wisconsin not so long ago.
Dominic, here's my greater point. The party of Trump can find Italian heritage to be offensive. You know what I mean? Like Ron Meatball, still a legitimate, apparently, attack on an Italian-American in this day and age, Dom. That party is not electing a black senator from South Carolina or a Indian American former Trump whatever governor of South Carolina. If you're from South Carolina, you're not going to become the president. Sorry, James Clyburn, you're not either. Come back like tomorrow when we do the show again. I knew it was the end. Stop looking at me like that. Stick around. Busted Pencils at 7. Native Roots Radio in between. Keep it locked. Civic Media.
Wanker.
Please clap.